I titled this one A Penny for My Thoughts, and I actually got the title from my instructor, Jack Grapes. After he heard it, he helped me to walk through what I should title it. She took it. I couldn't believe it. I took it, she said. 1,000 for every woman. I didn't judge her for it. How could I? Would I say I wouldn't have acted irrationally in the same situation? I'm not sure. She was wearing a gray sweatsuit. Her long black curly hair was pulled back into a bun. Her normally bright eyes were bloodshot red. I could tell she had been crying. But now as she spoke, there was no attachment, no real feeling. The sound of the rain on the windshield was soothing. It was that typical movie scene so appropriate for the moment. She was in the passenger seat of my car with a chair reclined all the way into the back seat where there was a bag of clothes I had intended to drop off earlier that day. There was a single penny in the cup holder and some lint balls wet from the water from the condensation of her unfinished Chick-fil-A lemonade. I could tell she wanted to cry. $30,000, she said. 30 different women. And he has the nerve to be angry. We sat in silence. Vengeance is the Lord's, but you can't help but justify a woman's decision when there's wrath and betrayal and hurt. I would argue that $1,000 wasn't enough. I remember finding out my boyfriend cheated on me. The way it hurt, the way you blame yourself, the way you want to know who it was, what she looked like, what she had on you. So I didn't judge her. After leaving that relationship, I left with a lot of insecurity issues. So I get it. What do you do when it's your husband? Thinking about it now makes me anxious. What if that was my husband? What would I do? Yeah, pray. Yeah, forgive. Yeah. But what would I do? I don't know. I'm afraid to even consider it. I'm afraid because it would mean considering turning my entire world upside down. I'm afraid because encountering something like that would shatter me. It would shatter my whole home. It will recreate the insecurities and only middle child issues that I grew up with and worked so hard not to create for my kids. It will reveal that outside of love and happiness and security of marriage and all the fluff we talk about, marriage was also a safety net for my offspring. I do have abandonment issues. I was always left to figure things out. I never thought I could call it that because I've always been surrounded by people. I've always had company. I've always had family. But I've always been alone. I've always had people to count on and to love me, but not the real me. I've always imagined they'd all freak out if they really knew what my private thoughts were. The way I didn't think the normal things that people thought about. How I always felt like an exception to the rule. I was a daydreamer. I am a daydreamer. I don't want to do regular things. Regular things are for people who convince themselves that it's normal to want what everyone else wants. And I don't really know what I want. But I know it's not the Monday scaries or the morning commute or spending hours every week doing work that I hate just to pay the bills. I want the fairy tale, but not the one where the prince sweeps me off my feet. Wait, I want that one too. But the kind where sleep and rest aren't earned, but they're just a normal part of life. The kind where driving slowly doesn't warrant honking horns. The kind where eating cake doesn't cause cellulite. The kind where nobody has jobs. They just have hobbies. And somehow the lights stay on. If only joy was the currency we all needed to survive. Maybe one day I'll grow up. And so that was another writing assignment that I submitted to my class. This is a class that's instructed by Jack Grapes. Every week we have a reading assignment and writing assignments. The goal with the writing assignments is for you to write every single day, which is a habit that I had already gotten into the practice of. I don't know if you've been following me longer than like last year in November 2024. I do the writing challenge every year in November. Well, not every year. This is the second year that I did it. And I follow the writing challenge and I do it not because I want to write a book or any particular body of work. I just enjoy journaling. And so what intrigued me initially to take this class was I was watching a video, and I don't even know how I stumbled on these videos because I don't consider myself to be a professional writer. I enjoy writing. I do it in my leisure time. But after watching his segment, I knew that if I wanted to take a writing class, I wanted it to be with him because he has this incredible way of helping you to tell your story, but in a way that doesn't force you to be a literary writer. So most of what we've been doing, like this is very simple writing that I'm sharing with y'all. Most of what we've been doing is just what he calls writing like you talk. And so it takes away all of the things. Like if somebody told you to write a story, you would probably sit there and write a story that is full of all of these adjectives and adverbs and, you know, the green tree nestled across the field and I could feel the breeze kiss my, like you would just talk like that. That's how you would write if somebody told you to write something and you felt like the pressure to perform. But I find that in sitting in this class, we read these things out loud and we listen to each other. And it's so funny because everybody has a different style or a different voice or a different way of telling their stories. But there is something so powerful in writing like you talk and just going through these exercises. And so what stood out, what was a little bit different than what I shared last week, he does something where he tells us to write like we talk. And then we come to these, what he calls transformation lines, which are I statements. And he teaches us how to take those I statements and get more out of it. So he says, write like you talk, just write a regular journal entry, write about nothing until you get to these lines or these phrases, these I statements. And then you take that I statement and you massage it and you break it down until it's more, right? And so, like, for instance, on here, I said, I'm afraid because it would mean considering turning my entire world upside down. And then I took that line, I'm afraid, and I started massaging that. And that's how I got to my private thoughts and these things that I want. This is what I really want. And it's so weird. I know people don't understand me and da 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 da. And so doing that got me there. But the interesting part of this assignment was something that he calls the image moment. And this is something that we're all aware of. If you read enough books, you know that there are points in a story where there's dialogue or there's some type of action and there is all this detail and scenery and description between the dialogue. So mine was when she said, I took it, 1,000 for every woman. She said that and then I paused between the next thing that she said and I described the scene. I said she was wearing a gray sweatshirt, what her hair looked like, what the scene in my car looked like. I set the scene where there was a penny in the cup holder and all these things. And so this is all an active part that we're learning is all about, is all an active part of our storytelling. And so when I finished, he was like, wow, you know, and we start talking, he always gives feedback. And he asked me, what was the significance of the penny? I say, you know, I don't know. Part of the assignment, one of the things, we have to have a prop in that type of description. And I was like, man, I don't know what kind of prop I want to use. So I just did a penny. And this man asked me a series of questions. He was like, do you share these thoughts with people? Like, what happens when you talk to people about this? And I told him, I was like, you know, I open up to people about it, but vulnerability really makes me feel icky, which is so ironic because I share so much online. But sharing online is different because I know that I'll share it and the people who care about it will get it. Sometimes in my personal life, it's like you share things with people and you're not really sure if they need what you're sharing. So it feels like you're sharing it in vain. Like, why am I sharing this with you? So it feels very icky. And so I told him that. And he said, you know, as a result of that, do you feel like, what do you feel like your thoughts are worth? What do you feel like somebody would pay you for your thoughts? And so we go down this whole spiel back and forth. And he's like, so what do you think about the penny? And I was like, oh my gosh, a penny for my thoughts. That's what I'm going to call it. And he was like, yeah. And so I'm really... when I say I'm really enjoying this phase of my life, I'm just doing stuff, y'all. I'm out here dilly-dallying and frolicking because I have no plans to write a book anytime soon, but I probably will by the time I'm finished with this class. I have no plans to become a best-selling artist, but I've been taking this art sketchbook very seriously by Lauren Horn. I'm just having a lot of fun. I'm out here making content. I just started a podcast. I have a YouTube channel. I have wifey school. Like, this is just so much fun. I'm frolicking. I'm living the dream. I'm doing the fairy tale thing. And I'm just allowing God to do whatever he wants to do through me. So, but I wanted to share that. Again, these segments are going to be a lot shorter and just little surprise pop-ups while I am in this writing class. So If you don't want to hear these, just skip over the ones that don't have an episode title.